Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, Skitch from Evernote is on its way out, so we have some alternatives, plus a few alternatives for Evernote,
and
just in case.
We're going to answer a plethora of your questions. I hate that word, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Or a passel.
A profusion.
Or dozens.
Mm-hmm.
And I infantilize myself by coloring with a $100 pencil.
It's iOS Today! iOS Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/iOS today. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/iOS today. That's lynda.com/iOS today. You're using my words against me, aren't you, Maroney? It's iOS Today time. Welcome, everybody.
Yes.
I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney.
And this is the show where we talk about not just the iPad. Used to be iPad Today, but we decided to broaden our range to include the iPhone, the Apple Watch, and the Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
All the OSs.
All the OSs. And, you know, last night was a 60 Minutes interview with Tim Cook.
I missed it. And Johnny Ive was on.
Johnny Ive, Angela Ahrens, who's camera shy.
We've never seen her in public.
Right.
Well, that's not quite true. But
she doesn't like to be interviewed.
Yeah, and she's not been on stage at any of the Apple events. So I'm going to have to go back and watch it. I'm sure it's on demand somewhere. I didn't watch it. I was watching the football game, and I realized, oh, shoot, it was 6:40 or 7:40. And so I knew they were going to be on, and though I caught the last sentence where Charlie Rose, they're looking at the new building, says, "Where's your office, Johnny Ive?" And he says, "On the top floor." And that's it. And then it was over. And so tell me about it.
Well, it's great. And for anyone who follows, you know, Apple meticulously and wants to see all the secrets, No. I mean, but everything, it's, on the internet, it's like, I don't know who's worse. The people, like, finding Easter eggs in Star Wars or on the Apple interview. Like, what did we see? There's something under a sheet.
Because we went to Johnny Ive's secret design lab, but everything was covered, most of the uninteresting stuff was covered with sheets.
Yeah, prototypes and such.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I thought it was interesting what Tim Cook said about privacy. You know, just that we shouldn't, it's not as simple as everyone's making it out to be. We shouldn't have to exchange our privacy for national security.
Thank you.
Like, there's a way to do both.
Good.
And I think that was good. Something that Phil Schiller said that I thought was really interesting.
He's the chief of marketing at Apple.
Yes, and now in charge of the App Store.
Yeah, we should say Tim Cook, CEO. Mm-hmm. Angela Ahrens is in charge of retail.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Ive, we mentioned, is their chief design officer. Mm-hmm. And Phil Schiller is their chief marketing
officer. Right, and now he's in charge of the App Store, too.
And the App Store, which is actually huge because we've said for a long time they need a czar to kind of kick some butt at the App Store, because there's real issues there.
And you know how we always say, like, well, why, you know, is my iPad going to replace my MacBook? Is my iPhone going to replace, is my Apple Watch going to replace my iPhone? He said something really interesting. I'll just read the quote. "The iPhone has to become so great that you don't know why you want an iPad. The iPad has to be so great that you don't know why you want a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
The notebook has to be so great you don't know why you want a desktop. Each one's job is to compete with the other one."
He has said that before. In fact, there's a long blog post about kind of parsing that. And he also says, and he may not have said it on 60 Minutes, that the Apple Watch is supposed to replace the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that that's really what they want, obviously.
Right.
They want to sell them all.
Yeah.
But it does kind of position everything logically enough in a hierarchy. So you use a Macintosh, the full computer, when you have to do something that nothing else can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on down from that. The iPad is a great alternative when your iPhone just won't have enough oomph or enough screen real estate to do it. Your iPhone's great when your watch won't do it. And if your watch will do it, then you should do it on the watch. And I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so that it doesn't really feel like it's revealing any secrets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that means that they want you to stop buying iPhones. They really do want you to keep buying iPhones.
Exactly. And I got an email recently, too, from someone who was like, you guys get all the devices, so it's hard because, you know, what about the people that only can buy one thing?
Which you know? Should you buy?
Yeah, right. Which should you buy? So that's something that I've been thinking about, too, because we do, you know, you do get all the devices.
Well, I think everybody should have a computer.
Right.
And that doesn't replace a phone. I think if you had the iPhone 6, and I would get the 6S Plus because it's big enough to replace an iPad, and a Macintosh, I would get the 5K iMac because that's the best Mac they make, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's probably 90% of the functionality that you want. Mm-hmm. So the watch is probably of all of them the most expendable. And the iPad, unless you have specific needs, you know, I just gave the iPad Pro to my mom for Christmas. Because she's an artist. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm really frustrated because they said the pencil won't come to mid-January. So I'm gonna steal somebody's pencil. Mm-hmm. I notice you have one, and send it to my mom because she's an artist and she used to draw on a Windows machine using a program called Dabbler, and she loved it because it was easy to use. The controls slid in and out, and it had natural media, so it would have kind of crinkly paper, and it would have watercolor or tempera paints or oils or acrylics, charcoal. And she loved that because she's a real artist. She loved the natural media on the iPad. And in fact, I told her, get Procreate. I sent her a certificate for Procreate. She bought it and she's in love. That's an example of something you really can't get that experience on a Mac. She was doing it on an iPhone 6 Plus. It's not the same. No. And so she loves the iPad. But those are unusual. Those are specific tasks that you really want to do. For the other 90%, don't you think an iPhone, you don't need an iPad?
Yes, yeah, for
and
sure.
A Mac is there because you need a power tool for mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was interesting, the Pew Center for Research, I reported this on Tech News Today this morning, they had a big study on broadband. I don't know if you saw it, but broadband is plateauing. Like, people are getting more people are just using
LTE.
Phone.
Yeah. Yeah, just, it's fast enough.
It's fast enough, but then what they said was, for like some generally marginalized people, the poor, people living in rural areas, African Americans, it's not as good. You can't do everything. You can't. It's not as easy for people to look up services,
banking,
or apply for
like
a job,
yeah.
Or you know all these things. So it's pretty interesting because we think, oh yeah, like I could get away without my phone, but there are things that you really need to do. That you can't always do as easily on a phone that you really need broadband for.
It's pretty much tied to either income or access, I think. Mm-hmm. If you see rural residents, their problem is that there just isn't, in many cases, high-speed internet, mm-hmm. landline, or via cable.
Yeah.
Or if you're poor, that's a $60 bill you just would like to do a month you would
right.
like to do without. So I can understand
but
that.
Instead, you,
but boy,
you
this
use
is,
a...
But, okay, fine, Pew, but... Before this, there was no internet.
Right.
So this is a huge benefit. I used to talk to rural listeners on the radio show all the time, bemoaning the fact that they'd have to use satellite internet or there was no internet at all. Now that they have LTE, and in a lot of rural areas that didn't have it, that's a huge boon. Yeah, and if you can afford a computer, then you can attach a computer to this and you have internet access. If you can't afford a computer, hey, at least you have...
Right.
Something that can do an awful lot.
Yes, but that's not the whole story, I think they're saying. And the other thing about this is you run up against data caps, and then you end up having to pay more than you thought you were going to pay.
Well, that's
you know,
a shame.
It's part in your budget.
We've really got to fix that.
Yeah.
I think that's a big issue.
Right. Because, yeah, you could say, oh, Tether, but then all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, I got a $300 bill. I don't know how to pay that. I can't afford that.
It's frustrating. My cable provider, probably in response to this threat from LTE, has really upped the speed of their cable. I think it's now almost 200 megabits download. Still kind of slow upload, only 5 megabits or 10 megabits upload. But that's a lot. That's, you know, when you compare it to the download speed of even the fastest LTE, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, this is really frustrating, they have a cap, a 350 gigabyte a month cap that's very easy, especially at those speeds, mm-hmm. to run up against. And so I feel like while they're giving on the one hand, they're sneakily,
yes.
because you're not aware of the cap till you hit it, taking away with the other. And that's
right.
not good. We really have to fix our internet. In the U.S., I think that the internet providers in the U.S. are not doing the right thing, and I think it's up to the FCC to make them do the right thing.
I agree. So today we're going to answer your questions. We got a lot of questions.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
And the first one came from Heath in Honolulu. He said, I read today that Evernote is officially killing Sketch in January. I feel like they actually killed it some time ago since it's so buggy. Heath says, I work as an inspector, construction, building, et cetera, and I need a photo annotation app that allows for boxes, arrows, and text as Sketch does. It needs to be more professional. Most of the time, most of the apps I find are playful.
Yes.
I use Sketch to quickly point out construction issues while in the field and append those annotated photos to outlet database programs using the photo library. Sketch worked well for me, but now no hope they will fix the crashing bug. So that's a good thing to point out. You can still use Sketch, but
it may have bugs.
Not, yes.
So they kept Sketch around on one platform. I forget. Is it Android? I can't remember. One platform. But I think there's a larger concern that Evernote itself is really struggling. You know, Phil Libin, the beloved CEO of Evernote, left. And I get the sense that they're in financial straits because they're killing all the peripheral apps that they acquired. They acquired Sketch or made themselves, like Food and Hello, and they're all going away. Now, their response is, we're incorporating the annotation features of Sketch into Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not already using Evernote, I suspect you are, you wouldn't be using Sketch, but if you're not already using Evernote, download Evernote and see if its annotation capabilities will live up to what you want to do. If not, there are other choices.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with him. There tend to be not professional choices.
So one I saw is called Folio, and it's free. So I have that on my desk. I annotated this picture right here.
So it does arrows?
So, yeah. So
because that's one of the things Sketch does. You say, you know, you're pointing to the dry rot. Mm-hmm. He's a contractor and saying, here's something to pay attention to. That guy is suffering from dry rot. Yeah.
Folio.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can make that bigger text, too.
I can, yes. I can make it bigger.
Folio.
And I can do boxes like this.
Is it ad-supported, or is it in-app purchases? Or
I guess it's
just giving it away.
It's free for now.
Lot of programs are trying to capitalize on the loss of Sketch to get into people's attention. So that's good. Take advantage of that.
Yeah, so Folio. What would be the in-app purchases if it were an in-app purchase?
Well, you know, I don't know, different templates, perhaps. You know what I'd love to see, and Sketch never did this either, I'd love to see kind of more omni-graphal style objects so that you could do flow charts, you could do electronics. This looks pretty good,
yeah.
I gotta say. And it works with all the cloud storage solutions.
Mm-hmm. And you can share pretty easily.
Folio. Now, I'm looking. Folia.
Folia.
With an A.
Folia.
Interesting. Yeah.
A branch fire product. Do you know anything about branch fire?
No, but that's good. Annotate and share. This looks like a great... I'm going to install this right now. It does have in-app purchases, I see. Let's see what the in-app purchases are. Sometimes it's a good idea to check those before you buy. In-app purchases. Folia starter, $1.99. So probably, you know, you'd get more. I don't know what you'd get. I'll have to open it
either.
And see. Yeah. What do you get? You could sign up with Google. I'm going to do that because, but it wants my Google account, so I'm not going to do that. Usually it's easier to do that. But
yeah.
That's good because if you can sign up to stuff, that means it'll preserve it across platforms. So I presume you can use it with an iPhone and an iPad, and your account will.
Yes,
did so well.
It is on my iPhone as well.
And this one allows collaboration. You know, this might be better than Sketch.
Maybe they're just taking all your personal information. Maybe that's how they're making money.
I think it's in-app purchases. Yeah. That's not bad at all. I'm gonna download that right now. I was gonna show a couple of choices.
Okay.
And I like it. Android too.
Yes.
Because I, unlike probably most people who watch this show, I'm a kind of cross-platform guy. Mm-hmm. I use Macs and Windows, iOS and Android, and I always look for apps that go across the board. That's one of the reasons why I like SimpleNote. This was acquired by Automattic. That's the company that owns WordPress.com. Mm-hmm. Now, and normally I would say that's a good thing, but isn't that what went wrong with Sketch? Evernote acquired him and killed him. So, but I feel like Automattic is committed to this. SimpleNote is really all about simple note-taking. It's probably really simple. It's cross-platform, which I kind of like. You can even use it on a web browser. But I don't know if you have annotation capabilities. That's what he really wants. He likes to draw on it, right?
Yeah, he wants to just put, like have a map and put an arrow on it really quickly.
This is really text only. Mm. For that, you have Notability, right?
Yes, I have Notability.
I've been using that. I really like that with the
iPad. In fact,
the iPad Pro made me go back and use Notability more because this is kind of a natural one for
Notability.
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't used this a ton, but you're familiar with this, so I just...
It allows me to make a notes, and then within the note, you can do text, but you can also draw. You can also, and I really like this, record. So Notability probably isn't what our contractor wants, but if you're a student and you like to take notes during a lecture, you can record the lecture, can type notes as you go, and the recording will be attached to the notes in such a way that if you click on the text that you wrote, it'll jump to that part of the lecture. Man, I wish I'd had that in college. Wouldn't that be great? You record a lecture, you take your notes, but you want to kind of elaborate on it, you hit that part of the notes, and you can hear that part of the lecture again. Phenomenal. That's it does also have complete drawing capability.
So you could use this with, like, screenshots. I think that's how I was using Sketch, too. So it's like I want to point out that. I want to erase that.
Also has the advantage of, like, Simple Note and Sketch, too, synchronizing. And with other platforms, you can synchronize, only with a Mac, but that you can synchronize with your desktop. And it's also pretty because, and I think this is their monetization strategy. You can buy themes for it. Mm. So you see, I bought the winter theme, 99 cents. But it's just, it's kind of fun. I kind of like this one. Auto backup to your account. You can use iCloud if you wish as well. There are existing a variety of themes, but you can buy more themes on the store. And, you see there's quite a bit of, change the font. It will do handwriting, which as I turn on left-handed mode and palm detection, because this would be a really good use for students or anybody taking notes in meetings, that kind of thing. And it does do web clipping as well, which is a good feature of Sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I will miss Sketch. I use Sketch all the time.
Sketch, I will miss
you. On the Mac, there are some good kind of Sketch-alikes. Acorn is a good one. I use that a lot. That is an inexpensive. It's actually much more full-featured than Sketch. But I use that for a long time as part of my blogging. One of the reasons people use Sketch is to get a screenshot or get an image, annotate it, reduce it in size, modify it, and put it in their blog. Acorn is very good for that on the Macintosh, too.
You can also use paper 53
for
annotating.
But
too.
I think that, like our viewer wrote, it's more playful is not the right word, but it's more artistic.
Yeah.
And I really like Folia. I think you found a really good look.
Right,
you
paper.
Put a
bit. I did. This is my husband watching Empire Strikes Back.
But see, you had to make that arrow, right?
I had to make that arrow.
And that's the nice thing about Folia and Sketch. They had built-in arrows. But who's doing all that great drawing on your?
The drawing? Let's take a look at that.
What program is this? 53's paper?
This is paper, and I gave your, which I'm now calling my pencil.
Yeah, I'm going to give that to you.
To Greg Burnett, and he drew this.
Boy, he's a good artist.
Yeah, he is amazing. And he, first he drew with his finger. Let's see, that's here. Yeah, he was drawing this with his finger.
But that's still pretty good. That looks just like you.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? This is not me. But, yeah, he drew all this.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing.
It's glad we have one artist in the family.
One in the midst, yes, in the Twit family, who deserves all the recognition that he should get because he is quite talented.
Really talented.
Yes.
Yeah,
and this was, one thing, he used this for about 5 hours. He was also watching the front desk at the same time. But, the charge lasts a really long time on the pencil and the...
And if it doesn't, if it runs out, it's very quick to charge.
Yes,
just a few minutes
exactly.
To charge it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, I got my mom could have used this, and that's what's nice about that is it's free, paper by 53. She uses brushes, which was when the iPhone first came out, pretty early on, or the iPad first came out, pretty early on, the artistic choice. There were magazine covers done with brushes. She says, I use brushes because David Hockney, the famous British artist, uses brushes, so I'm going to use it. I said, Mom, because you have an iPad Pro, her Christmas gift, you should get something made for the iPad Pro. Would you do me a favor and try Procreate? And for drawing, I doubt for annotation, but for drawing, there's nothing better than Procreate. She fell in love. Did I mention that?
You did. I'm wondering why she already got her holiday gift.
It came... And it was sitting under her tree, and I said, Mom, just open it.
Did Do you need to borrow my pencil?
No. Alas, nothing will help. I'm not an artist. But this is Procreate, and really a beautiful program. And, you know, what I do is I show the defacements that I make to other people's
that's
art.
That's your skill.
That's about all I can do. So
So we talked about maybe just general Evernote replacements also, just in case Evernote goes away. And I think Google Keep. I know I'm a big...
Love Keep. And now that it's out for iOS,
yes,
I'm really pleased.
And, yeah, and for the iPad Pro, it's great.
It has some annotation capabilities.
It does have some, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see
it
if
has
the
advantage of having
this.
Synchronizing with Google and preserving your stuff through Google. And it's completely cross-platform, which is nice.
I thought I could annotate this picture of Carly and I at Star Wars, but I'm not exactly sure how.
Well, I've done some drawing on my Google Keep. So if you look here, there is a little palette that lets you choose colors.
Oh, I thought that was the color of the note.
And there must be somewhere where I've decided to draw, and I don't know. You're right. It's not immediately obvious. We're being dumb, aren't we? Is this not?
That's okay.
Take photo, choose image. So, okay, you know what? This might actually, let me take a photo here. I'm going to take a photo of you and annotate it. This might be a really useful tool. That's a cute photo.
Hmm.
So I'm going to use that photo. So we make a note. And see, you can place it in a note, which is kind of cool. You could text, obviously, text notes by typing. Shut up. Where do I find, maybe if I push the down arrow, no, that's not it. Boy, I feel like a dummy here. This allows me to pick different colors. Oh, that's just the background color. I can add it, add a label or add it to some existing labels. Golly.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to annotate, but I mean, except
there's
for below.
There's got to be a way.
Like, you can put notes below. Like, I had this gift idea here.
I did that. How did I do that? Maybe I did it on some other device.
And then you import it. Because you can, your notes in Google Keep, you can now import to Google Docs pretty easily. So, yeah. Here's the thing from, these are the new credit cards I'm going to get. There's no personal information here. But I just took a picture of my consumer reports, and I put it here.
I think that's very handy.
Notes. Yeah, because I wanted to, this was from a magazine, and I just put it in there.
And now, the problem is you're looking for something to replace Evernote, because Evernote may or may not go under.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the things you're looking for. One, something that's not going to go away. Now, admittedly, Google's here to stay, but we've seen them kill other projects before. I feel like Keep is probably not going to be killed, and one hopes will be maintained. It's a really useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they put it on iOS only recently tells me that at least it's under development.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're looking for something that you can easily get your Evernote notes into, and that's a little bit more challenging. Evernote will export your notes as RTF files, rich text format files, and I'm not sure
Google Keep, you can export into Google Docs or Google Sheets.
Can you import, though?
Oh, import.
Because you want a way to get your Evernote
stuff from
Evernote into. And I haven't tried doing that.
That's interesting. I don't know.
I don't see an import function. So maybe there's... But again, I feel like I'm now baffled because I know I drew on a note. This is my note. That's the title. This feels a lot like Evernote for anybody who used Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe I did it on... This is the thing. It's cross-platform. It's very possible I did it on Android and that they haven't added this feature yet to iOS.
I think that's...
Take a photo, choose an image, delete, make a copy, send, show checkboxes is kind of nice because then you can have a shopping list. I use this for shopping lists. And I share, and you can share it. That's one thing that's really nice that Evernote did also. You can share it. But, you know, Evernote does so many things. Things like when you take a picture... It will automatically kind of decipher the text in the picture and add that to the note. Those things are very valuable. That's an Evernote Pro feature, premium feature. But I hope that doesn't go away.
I hope it doesn't go away either.
It's a little scary.
All right, let's answer
more questions.
Another question.
We should mention, did we mention this is a question and answer episode?
We did mention that. Yeah, okay. We're answering all your questions. Everyone, not everyone. But Anita from Atlanta asks, she says, thanks for all your hard work. Have you heard about this? A friend called me yesterday in a panic because she got a pop-up on her iPad. Attached is a screenshot
that she sent me.
I've got the screenshot here.
Since Apple doesn't seem welcoming to any antivirus scamming programs. That's not true. There are scanning programs.
See,
Intego makes them.
Okay,
we just don't recommend them, and I don't think it's a virus. I think what's happening, but I'd like to see it, is she's browsing to a website that has pop-ups.
I think so, too.
And, you know, this is the nature of the web, is it's possible to, using traditional web technologies, JavaScript and HTML, sometimes Flash and other less appreciated technologies, pop stuff up. Now, fortunately, we don't have to worry about Flash
on
iOS.
So I have the screenshot up on my... Yeah, there it is.
Just ignore that. That's a pop-up window in a browser. And the problem is, you know, what you probably should make sure is that pop-ups are disabled in Safari. They are normally, and so that would be my only concern. But this is not a virus. A, the virus they're talking about is not on your machine. B, in a way, this is a virus itself in the sense that it's doing something on your machine you didn't want. There is no virus. This itself is the malware. But it's not invading your machine.
So they want you to call this number.
Do not call that number.
Do not call the number. And then, because if you call the number, that's when they're going to use the social engineering to convince you to give them
There's two things they'll do. They might just, and most likely, they'll just get your credit card and say, oh, we can remove that. But worse, they might ask for remote access. If they do that, now you really want to hang up because you don't want to give anybody remote access to your machine unless you totally, 100% totally trust them.
Right.
So, but, you know, giving them your credit card wouldn't be good either.
Right. So don't click it. Don't call the number.
That's a pop-up, I'm sure, on Safari. I don't think you're seeing that from something else.
I don't think so either.
Because there are no viruses on iOS. There really aren't.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to worry about.
So avoid the site where they got she got it.
Well, the part of it is that bad guys, one of the things they do is they look for sites that have vulnerabilities. And then they install, inject malware, often hundreds of malware apps, onto that site. So that when you surf there, the apps go to work using JavaScript saying, well, what are the vulnerabilities? Oh, it's an iPad. That's how they knew it was an iPad. Oh, it's an iPad. Well, we can do this much. And they pop that up.
Right.
So it may not even be the site. It may, maybe the site itself has been hacked. In any event, that's absolutely certain nothing to worry about.
Right. All right. Sven is looking for a vector drawing app for the iPad Pro. Sven also drew a picture of us. On Twitter.
Oh, there nice.
Isn't that good?
I look like I'm angry. And you look like you're happy. And I'm obviously a Batman fan. Yeah, let's see if we can just match that up. Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, let me get my mug. Wrong hand. He's good. This guy's good.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, are we moving or are you moving? Okay. There we go. Thank you,
Sven. You know, he probably did a screenshot, because I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, he even knew I was left-handed.
Yeah. That's good. I think he did a screenshot. He had two.
Nice.
One is when I have my eyes closed.
For that, he gets a free question.
So he's looking for a vector drawing app for the iPad Pro.
And you came up with a whole bunch of them, but I remembered that I think it was Andy Iannacco, maybe it was Renee Ritchie, recommended one. Well, either way, I think Andy recommended it, and Renee said, yeah, this is great. It's from Adobe.
So
do you want to show them the various things you found, or do you want to just go straight to Graphite?
Well, I have shown UMake now, but I'm not sure. Is this what they're talking about?
Now, we've had these guys on Twit. They came by the studio. Oh. This is the program that was demonstrated at the iPad Pro announcement. And remember, they designed a car that was 3D printed, and that car actually was made, and they designed it in UMake. Now, UMake's problem is, and you see it right there, is it would be an expensive program. This is a 3D design program, far more than a vector graphic program. I mean, I guess you could use it that way, but it's a 3D design program, very sophisticated. They're going to have to, you know, they want to make some money on it. So what they do is they give you a demo version and they pop up, as you saw, they pop up that reminder that for full benefits you've got to pay for it. Do you remember what it cost? Because I think it probably is $100, but I'm not sure.
I don't remember, nor do I obviously
but
know how to use it.
But this is the 3D design program. There's no question about that. Let me just check the in-app purchases on here, and
Here's what I drew.
Yeah, it's $150.
Yeah, here's what I drew yesterday.
There you go.
Just kidding. I did not draw that. That was in there. But I can, mess it up.
But that's not, technically, that's not a, it's using vectors, but it's not a vector drawing program. He's looking for is something like Adobe Illustrator.
Right. But that's not on the iPad yet.
And one of the reasons you want a vector design program is, you know, mostly when Procreate and the tools we've just been showing, they're working with dots on the screen. It's called bitmaps. And those don't scale very well. You blow that up, you're going to see jaggies, right? Because all the instructions you're giving the machine is color these dots that color, and that's the size of the dots. When you make the dots bigger, jaggy. So people who are designing graphics for the web, and who want to make lightweight graphics do something called vector designing, which is instead of filling in dots on the screen, they draw curves, fill in the curves with color, and that can be stored mathematically as a mathematical formula for the curve, and then the fill a color information and say this is fill. So it's very compact, and it scales infinitely up and down because the curve can be drawn at any size, and it will be perfectly smooth at all sizes. So vector graphics are a very popular way to make small, highly scalable, you know, small in download size, highly scalable graphics for a whole lot of things. And so they're really great.
So Graphic was the one that you recommended.
This is the tool that Adobe created. It wasn't me. This came from Andy Anako.
What should we do?
Way beyond my skills. Go ahead and pick a blank one. Because what we're going to show you is the curve drawing. And this comes from Autodesk, which does AutoCAD. These guys are brilliant. Now notice the tools, you're going to pick a line. The tools, in effect, what's going to happen is you're going to get what's called a Bezier curve with handles. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Draw a curved line now. Actually, that'd probably be a better one. You see the handles on it. You see the curve?
Oh, you see how it's doing that?
So it's essentially describing a curve. Now, you can put handles on that curve, and you can move it around.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get it to do anything you can do with a bitmap drawing, but it's a different skill. And so I find it challenging. A lot of people do. But once you understand Bezier curves,
mm-hmm.
it's not so hard to do. And it has these huge advantages. So this is kind of mind-boggling, because this is only, what, $6, $7?
It was $3 on the iPhone, $9 on the iPad, and $25 on the Mac.
You can still do, by the way, notice that looks like a bitmap, but as soon as you stop, mm-hmm. it kind of smooths out and handles appear, because that even is a curve or a series of curves. See the handles? So you can really see that this is actually a vector. Even something that looks like a bitmap is a vector.
Whoa.
Fantastic tool. The fact that Graphic is $7 for something that is as good as Adobe Illustrator, which is hundreds of dollars. Actually, it's $8.99, you said. So $9 is mind-boggling. This is, for an iPad Pro, everything you're looking for. It works on all iPads, but on the iPad Pro, this is the kind of apps I've been saying we need for the iPad Pro to really succeed, is professional-grade apps. The thing that blows me away is that they're only charging so little. This is actually, I thought it was, did it say Autodesk? It says Indio. Am I looking at the wrong
This was,
program?
No, I think it was from, it did say it was Autodesk.
Yeah, maybe Indio is a division of Autodesk. I don't know.
So here I made this ink blot for you. What do you see in it?
It says Autodesk Graphic. But it's from Indio. Now you can find out more at graphic.com.
Yeah.
And it is available not just for the iPad, but for the Mac and the iPhone. This kind of is amazing that it exists. This was iDraw, and it was around for a long time.
Oh, this was, because iDraw was recommended when I was looking
at it. Oh, yeah, iDraw is great, but this is its replacement.
Okay.
And as good as it gets, I almost think that Adobe's got to be, you know, shivering. Adobe had some vector capabilities in the. Here's all the Adobe apps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember which one. Yeah, it was Adobe Draw. This is also it's an Illustrator program, so it imports and exports to Illustrator. It does a lot of the same things. But of the two, and I'm not the guy to ask, because I've never been able to figure out how Bezier curves work. But of the two, I think Graphic is pretty amazing. Although you have to say, you can really do some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
This is Adobe Draw. Adobe is also really stepping up to the plate, I think, with the iPad Pro. These are great. This is drawings by some guy.
And what about Procreate? That's not a vector drawing.
Antoine Demet. Say again?
Procreate's not a vector drawing.
That's a bitmap.
Bitmap. Got it.
So that's the difference. Filling in dots with color. It's much more natural way. It's exactly how you paint on a piece of paper. You don't make vectors.
Mm-hmm.
But when it became computer illustration, this is how computer illustration really sings. Because these are all very small files, mm-hmm. despite looking like a bitmap. Tiny. But it takes a little more skill than I've got to do it.
So after the break, we're going to have some more questions. We love to hear your questions. You can call us 757-504-iPad. That's 4723. So 757-504-4723. You can email us, iostoday@twit.tv or megan@twit.tv. We love to hear from you. And, yeah, send us a video, too, because we love to show those. And
This is our last show of the year, the last show of the fall. Winter starts in just a few hours. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like it right now. It's a little gloomy and rainy. And
we have an episode next Monday that we did. We already recorded.
We've already done it. Oh,
and
thank
it's awesome.
God. You scared me. Most of the shows are taking the week off after Christmas, as we always do, and most of them are doing best ofs. But we thought it'd be fun to kind of do a kind of a holiday, post-holiday special.
Right. Yeah, we wore our pajamas, so it's casual.
That's good.
Wear yours too while you're watching.
And we showed you how to set up all the different new things you, we hope, got for the holiday season, for Hanukkah, for Christmas, including an iPad and an Apple Watch.
Right. And if they got a new one, what should they do with their old one?
That's a great question. I wish I knew. Oh, Gazelle.com. That's what they should do. Gazelle's a great place. In fact, this is the perfect time of year to go to Gazelle.com. Because, of course, you have old devices now that you want to recycle. Don't throw them in a drawer. You wouldn't throw a $100 bill in a drawer. There's good money in those old gadgets. Your old iPad or iPhone. Even if it's broken, it has is worth something at Gazelle.com. You can get a quote right now. The quote's good for 30 days. So you have well into next year to decide what you're going to do to get the new device, to get it set up, to copy stuff over. I always recommend if you get a new iPhone or iPad or a new computer or whatever, keeping the old one around for a little while just to make sure you got everything you want on the new one. But then after 30 days, you can pull the trigger. They'll send you a box. They pay the shipping. If you forget to wipe your data, you should always wipe your data before you sell old devices. But if you forget to, they'll do it for you, which is awfully nice. And then they'll send you a check, a PayPal credit, or an Amazon gift card. You see that for $295 for that Apple device. Wow, for a 6 Plus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. In case you got the 6S this holiday season. Now, here's the other thing. It's a great time to go to Gazelle to buy as well because, yes, there's a flood of new products at Gazelle.com, and the very best stuff is available for sale. They sell iPhone 4S through 6 Plus. They sell iPads, standard Air and mini models, and even a variety of Samsung Galaxy phones. Every one of these devices has gone through a rigorous 30-point inspection to make sure that everything not only works but is cosmetically okay, no scratch, no big scratches on the screen, that kind of thing. They also have a 30-day return policy, so there's never any risk. And you know what else there's never any of? Carrier contracts. So you're not extending your contract at all, although it will work on your carriers. They have devices for AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. This is a great way to get a new device, a replacement device, a device for a kid. Gazelle. You just got to remember that name. You've got stuff to sell. You've got stuff you want to buy. Go to Gazelle first. GAZELLE.com. Give new life to used electronics. Trade in for cash or buy certified pre-owned at Gazelle. And we thank them so much for their support of iOS today. Look at this incredible illustration. This is Kaizo Go from Jakarta, Indonesia.
Oh, what app?
This is done on Adobe's Draw app for the iPad. Is that not gorgeous?
It is.
Just shows you that sometimes people think vector drawing is going to be mechanical or robotic. Not at all. With somebody who in the right hands. But you can see because it's vector, you know, kind of the textures, you know, are not exactly smooth. It definitely has a different feel. Mm-hmm. These are the stages that she went through to draw this amazing painting.
That
just
amazing.
Gorgeous. That's Kaizo Go from Jakarta.
So now we have some recommendations. We get questions. We also get, hey, you recommended this. I have something that I like even better.
Good.
Leanne from Hawaii, she says she loved our show about holiday gifts. She came across a great iPhone camera lens that would also make a great gift. It's called the Moment Lens.
Ooh.
She said there.
So we talked about the
Holoclip.
Holoclip, mm-hmm. which has been around for a long time. I haven't seen the Moment Lens.
So she says that it's a little pricier. The quality is incomparable. I've tried a couple of lenses from other companies, including the Holoclip, also Photo JoJo. While the Holoclip was good, I didn't like that I had to remove my phone case every time I wanted to use the lens. Uh-huh. I ended up not using it. Uh-huh. The Photo JoJo lenses were attached by a magnetic strip that you placed on your camera. They were okay, but felt kind of cheapy.
Right.
The Moment lenses are exceptional. The lenses are attached by screwing them into a strip Ooh. That you place over the iPhone lens. Very easy to do.
I'm very intrigued now.
The lens have DSLR feel to them.
DSLR.
Check them out.
It's not cheap. They do have cases, or you can get the strip. $99.99, so $100 for the macro, tele, or wide. And you have to pick one of those 3. That's still, for a good lens, $100 is a very affordable price.
And I guess it goes right over your case, because she was saying she didn't like having to take the case
off.
I
guess you could put the magnetic strip on the case instead of... This is neat. This looks pretty good. I'll order one of these. What should I get? The telephoto? The wide? I love having a macro lens on my iPhone, because then you can get really close-up pictures of things.
Yes. Just don't take a close-up picture of me.
You know, my new wallpaper is a iPhone picture of my new film camera. And I have to say, I look at this and I go, I don't know why I need any other camera. The iPhone is an amazing camera. The detail, the color, the way it captures the light is phenomenal.
But now there's something about having the pictures that you have to savor. You know, it's like, is it worth
film
it?
Film you have to savor, all right.
My daughter wanted a Polaroid for
Did
Christmas.
Did she? That's all the kids now.
Yeah.
Instant photography's back.
Yeah. My parents got her one, the $99 Snap, but that wasn't the one she wanted. There was one a little cheaper that she wanted for some reason. I'm not sure.
Is she going to get it?
Yeah, this year she's like, this isn't the one I want. I'm going to return and exchange it. We're an open family to that.
She can return it and exchange it. There you go.
That's fine. Okay, we have a voicemail from Roy from Arizona.
Hello, this is Roy from Arizona.
Hello.
Calling and thanking Megan and Leo for their show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I am really enjoying my iPad Pro. Yeah. I'm a musician, specifically a trumpet player, and I use the app Fourscore for my music playing, and it works really outstanding. So keep up the great work, and thank you for your show.
Thank you for the call, and I always appreciate calls where people say who have a skill in an area will tell us about a program that is, because we're not musicians.
Mm-hmm. Have you used this before?
Apparently I have.
Because I didn't buy it, because it was like, I think it was $20 or something.
Yeah, apparently
but you apparently
I bought
it already.
Because it just said, you can download that. There are in-app purchases. I must have shown this at another time. This is way beyond my my skill. But he's a professional musician. It looks like you can scan in existing scores, which is phenomenal. You can create set lists. So, wow. I mean, what a great way, especially with the Pro. You're playing back.
I did, yeah.
So you can actually play back a score on this.
Well, this is a promotional video of what you can do with it. Yeah. It's $9.99. It's not that expensive.
Not what we can do with it.
No. What? But I have two trumpet players at home, so, you know, I might try this if it's good for the trumpet.
It's good for the what's good for the goose
is
good for
the
gander.
Not the trumpet.
All right, so they have. Let me see. Should I open?
I'm interested.
I don't have anything in my library.
And you were going to become a musician one day, and you downloaded this app.
You know, strange things appear on my devices. I was mentioning that the Elf on the Shelf TV series
just appeared.
I got a bill for it. I don't know who bought it.
Maybe Lisa bought it.
No, I asked her.
Michael?
No, he's too old for Elf on the Shelf. I don't know where it came from, but hey, I'm glad to have it. Let's see. There's also
you.
Was it you? Did you buy it? Let me see. Okay, so it has cloud support. This looks really great. Again, we're the wrong people to ask, but I'm going to trust our trumpeter.
Mm-hmm. Roy.
I
trust Roy.
Four Fourscore.
Fourscore. Lots
Music
of years
reader
ago.
For iPad.
So we had another recommendation, and now I can't find the person's name who recommended it, but I will before I'm done. It's for a traditional headphone, Jams Transit. $50 or even less are the greatest. Have you ever tried Jams Transit headphones?
Jams Transit.
Loud, good bass, separate volume, and skip buttons, comfortable for an hour or two.
Sounds good.
They have a more expensive, bigger model for $80.
That's cool looking.
Yeah. The Jams.
That's so if the kids are saying, I want my Beats, just paint a B on it.
Right. And then you got the
These
Jams.
Are nice because they're wireless, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, if it sounds good. Now, you got to be very careful with wireless Bluetooth because there are two different Bluetooth profiles. There's one for a wireless headset. The headset profile is not good for music. It's really designed for phone calls. And then there's A2DP, which is a stereo protocol. And if you want high-quality music, that's when you play in your car, usually using A2DP. That's why it sounds okay. Otherwise, it works. So this is, I'm sure, using A2DP, and I love the idea of wireless, don't you?
So this is Mike from Texas recommending.
Oh, and it also has hands-free calling, so it supports both profiles.
Because I had recommended the Plantronics Fit on i5, and I also the Backbeat 903. I have those Bluetooth for running.
This is more, sounds like, for music as well as phone calls.
But yeah, he said these.
I might have to get those. They look great.
Jams.
Jams.
So thank you, Mike from Texas.
Kick out the.
Mm-hmm. Let's kick out the jams.
Jams.
Okay. Now, Patrick also has a recommendation. Here's a letter from Patrick Delahanty, who works here. I don't know if you'll be able to read it, but I'll read a little bit. He got this from AT&T. He said he has been an AT&T customer for a long time, and they are thanking him for his business, but they're going to add $5 a month.
Yeah, he's not alone. Everybody getting an extra $5 for your unlimited plan.
Oh, unless you don't really feel like you need unlimited.
Are they saying that too?
Yeah, you can, yeah. You can just, choose a different plan.
So the president of AT&T last year very famously said, the worst thing he ever did as president of AT&T was these unlimited plans that they offered when the iPhone first came out. They really regretted it. And they're stuck with them, right? They said, hey, forever, we'll give you unlimited. But they have come up with all sorts of schemes for getting you off the unlimited plan, and you're going to get more. This is everybody who's on the unlimited data plan will be getting this done, another $5 a month starting next month. There's nothing you can do about it. That's their right to do. And of course, I keep getting notices saying, like, see how much you'd save if you just went to the family plan, which is a limited plan, but it has, they give you 20 gigabytes for less. And truth is, when they do that, they often say, you didn't use that much last month. So what are you paying that for?
You know, when I fell for this about maybe 2 years ago or a year. It was about 2 years ago. And they really say, like, you only used 99.99%. You didn't use close to unlimited. But that was, like, right on the eve of everything streaming and wanting to tether and everything. It's like they really fooled me into. Also, I feel like you get distracted and you say things you don't mean. I gave up my unlimited plan, and I will regret it for the rest of my life.
I think, though, people should be smart about this and really not assume. I know people who, like, hold on with, like, for dear life to their unlimited plan. And maybe that isn't the best deal for you. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe you did save money. Are you sure? I mean,
I'm not sure.
Because it's the kind of thing where you have to pay attention every month and can't figure out what the difference would be. And do you have overages on your AT&T plan?
Well, I have Sprint.
Okay, Sprint.
And I did. But then, what you have to do is then you have to be careful, like, especially with your podcast apps, make sure that you're not streaming, that make sure that you're downloading instead of streaming. And, you just have to be more careful. You have to make sure every time your children and their devices are inside, they're using Wi-Fi. Make sure, there is Wi-Fi most places. So it's not that bad. But I feel tricked because I feel like they tricked me out of it right before I wanted to, I don't have an LTE plan on this iPad. So if I'm going to use it in the car, I'm going to tether it to my iPhone. That kind of thing. Like all the reasons.
I have to say, if the head of AT&T says he regrets it, it probably is a better deal for you than that.
Yeah, probably.
This is, in case you don't believe me, this was in 2012. AT&T chief regrets offering unlimited data for iPhone. Randall Stevenson said it was the worst thing we ever done. If we hadn't done it, we'd be able to get people to use more data to pay up, as opposed to having the light, this is their spin, the light data users subsidize the heavy data users. Mm-hmm. I think anybody watching this show, you're probably a heavy data user.
Probably.
So you should say thank you, light data users.
So do you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to download instead of stream right before I go on my long road trip?
What?
My audiobooks.
I am a huge fan. Same thing for me. We're going on a cruise next week, and that means a long flight. Babies crying in the row behind me. I always bring my in-ear headphones. I use Edemotics, although I just got a new pair that Jim Dalrymple recommended. Ooh. And on the phone or the iPad, I get Audible because I want to listen. And it's a great way to pass the time. And, I started doing Audible when I had a very long commute from Tech TV back up here. You now know.
I know. On your big, giant. I was in the car with you. I commuted with you.
Oh, that's
you
right. We listened to your big white. Together.
You had your iPod that was about this size.
That's
like,
right.
It was like that thick.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that circle thing? How does that work?
And what books? Do you remember what books we listened to?
The Glass Castle by Julia.
Oh,
Julia
that was
the Glass.
Great.
The Julia,
what
something with Glass and Julia. Yeah, because I think you downloaded books you thought I might like.
I did try. I tried to buy books you would like.
But how many audiobooks?
And Lisa and I now, by the way, here's the we still have the iPod. I think John's bringing it to me. This one, you remember that?
Yeah.
That's probably still got that, whatever the Audible books were on there.
It took me an embarrassingly long time to figure out how this click wheel works.
The click wheel.
It just didn't make sense to me. I don't know.
Audible, they've come a long way now. They have an iPad app specifically for the iPad, of course, iPhone, Android. Windows Phone. It's really easy. You can even listen on a Chromebook or on the web. They've got you can listen in the browser now. But what's really the key, the key to Audible is 180,000 audio titles, including not just books, but also speeches and performances. Oh, I've got to get a Cesar Sari's new one, Modern Romance. And the thing that's fun is, now sometimes you don't want the author to read the book. Sometimes you do, and Aziz would be great. A comedian especially, you want them to read the book because they're going to bring that book to life. It's in their own voice, and so you really want that. I am a longtime Audible user since 2000, since Megan and I used to commute from San Francisco, and I just love it. I buy books every month to listen to. In fact, I recently bought, there's some French language courses because Lisa and I are going to Paris in the fall. They have language courses. They have the great courses, the college courses. There's a great one if you're already an Audible member. Free History of Christmas Music by Robert Greenberg, the guy who did the amazing great courses on how to listen to classical music. Science fiction. Carly Simon's got a new one. See, this is the problem, though. Every time I go to audible.com, I find another book I want to listen to. Here's the deal. We're going to get you set up with the subscription. That's the most affordable way to use Audible. You can buy a la carte as well. Oh, the new Force Awakens. I started listening to that. Whoa! Don't listen till you've seen the movie, because I think there's spoilers. But after you see the movie, you really, it's The Force Awakens, and they really have done a nice job of, play a little bit of that if you would, Anthony. They've done a dramatization. There's no spoilers in this.
Okay.
Staring despite himself. And in response, the figure of Kylo Ren turned.
All right, stop. Stop right now. Okay. Don't you want to listen? That's great.
I do.
And the thing that's great about Audible, it's like a movie in your mind. The thing plays out. You're driving along the road, and it's so vivid. Sometimes I think I've already seen the movie, but I've just listened to the book. It's really great. Look, here's the deal. We're going to get you the Gold account. That's a book a month subscription. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Great way to keep up on what's going on around the world. If you've got a commute or you spend time on a treadmill or, you know, walking the dog, doing the dishes, sweeping the floor, whatever you do that you can't be holding a book, you've got Audible in your ears. I have it playing throughout the entire house, through my Sonos. I love it. You will too. Free book, because what you do when you sign up for the Gold account is you get that first 30 days for free. You pick a book. You listen to that book. If you like it, of course, we hope you will. You'll subscribe. But if not, cancel in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. You get to keep the book, so you don't have to even finish the book. That book is yours forever. So pick well. Pick wisely, young Padawan. I think this Star Wars The Force Awakens would be a really good choice. Audible.com, and this is very important. You have to go to this address. Audible.com/, leave it up there. iOS today. Audible.com/iOS today. And that's how you get your free book. Now I know what I'm downloading for the cruise.
For the trip, yeah. All right, so we got some more questions. Tom from Smyrna, Georgia says, I have a question regarding the Logitech Create keyboard for the iPad Pro
that I know you have and
use as I do. What is the purpose of the lock button in the upper right corner? I accidentally hit it all the time when typing and it drives me nuts. Otherwise,
I wish we could take that out.
You do see. I think I have small hands.
And you don't
it's
hit
not,
it?
No, so this is the lock button. I don't know if you can see my keyboard.
There it is.
This is the lock.
It's right
button.
Above the back. And I can see why you did it, because it's right above the backspace, right?
Yeah. It's the delete button. Yeah. More backspace. Yes, same thing.
Do you use that to backspace? Because I do.
I do. Okay. Yeah. I had to look because I was like, "What is it?" Well, the lock. First of all, what is it used for?
Your iPad,
so
and that's why he's annoyed.
You know, because you want to walk away. Here, there's a bunch of snoops that we work with. Everyone wants to read everything I got. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it locks and then, you know, unlocks. So that is what it does. And I have small hands, so my pinky barely. I don't go all the way up there. But I guess was it a trouble for you? Because there's not one on your keyboard.
Well, and that's what's interesting. So the other keyboard you can get. By the way, they're all in short supply. The Logitech Create is now in short supply.
Oh, really?
It's back ordered. This is the Apple keyboard. And I got the Logitech Create, and I decided not to. I gave it to my mom for her iPad because it's too big and bulky. It's fine if you don't carry the iPad Pro around. But the nice thing about the Apple keyboard, even though it's $20 more, it's more compact. It's not protective in any way, but it's more compact.
Yeah.
And it works kind of the same way. It's got the little pogo pin. It doesn't have to be charged up or anything. It just like that. But it's a much simpler keyboard. It doesn't have any specialized keys, really. In fact, it's even got the caps lock key. The only specialized key it has for an iPad is this one to switch the keyboards. And it definitely doesn't have a lock key. Now, what's interesting is Apple has keystroke combinations that will do many of the same things. Mm. You have to learn those. I mocked this keyboard, the Apple keyboard, because I thought that's $170. It's too expensive. It's fabric. It's chiclets. It doesn't have as much travel. The Logitech is much more like a real keyboard. That's why I bought it. I prefer the Apple keyboard. Because for all the typing I do, I don't do a lot of writing on this. For all the typing I do, and it has enough travel, I feel like it's a decent keyboard.
What about, have you heard of the Bridge Pro? Bridge Pro is...
I should point out, any Bluetooth keyboard will work.
Right. Well, the Bridge Pro is not out yet. It's BRY Bridge, and it comes out January 9th. Kevin Toefel and I talked about it on Tech News Today. He did a review of it.
Did he like it?
He didn't do a review. I'm sorry. He did an article about that. It's coming out.
That it exists.
And I guess they have a lot of Bluetooth keyboards for other iPads. Right. So the Bridge Pro is something you might want to wait for too. There it is. Thank you, Anthony. Bridge Pro. Just got interesting. See, it fits. See how it fits in there? The thing about that is you can adjust the screen angle. That's the thing you can't do with either of these.
No, these are both fixed.
So if you want to, but it has the same. If you close it, there's no coverage. But it's just a different idea, and it looks nice, but we haven't used it. And you should pre-order that so that we can test it.
Mm.
Pre-orders start January 4th.
That's just when I get the day I get back. We'll be doing a show that day.
Yeah.
Let's do it on the air.
So
I do like one advantage that Logitech has, the keyboard keys light up. The Apple keyboard keys do not light up, and it looks like that one does light up.
Yeah.
You can use, if you have any Bluetooth keyboard, including Apple's Bluetooth keyboard, you can use those. In fact, what my mom's doing right now is she bought a stand. The nice thing about a stand is you can have it raised up a little bit. It can angle. It can rotate. It can do all sorts of things. These also don't do anything in portrait mode because...
You can't do anything. Yeah.
Your that keyboard's is a pain. Sideways now.
Yeah, the Logitech is hard to get in and out.
Yeah.
That's my complaint
about
it.
So if you got a stand... Then you could rotate it, do anything you want, and then you can have a wireless Bluetooth keyboard, including Apple's, sitting here. So you really can do any keyboard you want. And none of them will have that lock key. The only one that does, as far as I know, is the Logitech Create. Maybe that was a bad idea. I don't know. I never hit it either.
So I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Maybe he has giant hands.
Is there a way? Do you think there's a way to make it stop, like to deactivate it or whatever?
On a Mac, there would be. I don't think there's any access to that kind of low-level stuff on the iPad.
Just cut off the tips of your fingers, and then they would be a little bit smaller.
Or, as Steve Jobs said, sharpen them.
Yes. All righty. So let's go to this question from Jeff. Jeff from Tamarack, Florida asks, why hasn't Apple included the podcast app on the new Apple TV? Do you think it's going to eventually come back?
I don't care because the Apple Podcast app's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know why he's looking for that. I mean, you could AirPlay from your Apple
Podcast. Actually, that would be a good way to do it. Just use your iPhone or iPad. Mm-hmm. In fact, my AppCap is my favorite podcast app. That's coming up. And then you can use that to AirPlay.
Right.
You can use Chromecast, too, to Chromecast to your TV if that's what you want to do.
And if you want to watch Twit, we have four Apple TV apps. One is free too.
I have not looked to see what podcast apps are out there, but the Apple Podcast app is not one that I'm waiting with bated breath for.
I haven't seen which ones are out there
Interesting. Well, we'll have to look for podcast apps.
Yeah. On the Apple TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More questions. We have.
Okay.
You said a plethora.
I have a plethora. Yeah.
Okay. What is the collective noun for questions? You know, it's a murder of
like
crows. You know, a passel of alligators. I think, by the way, now I'm starting to realize that collective nouns are made up by somebody with a sense of humor. That they're intentionally weird and funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm at a loss.
A collective noun for let me see. I'm going to see.
Okay.
Here, Here's a list of collective nouns. Let's see. On Wikipedia, right? Let's see if they... Like a group of hills. Apparently German uses a GE. That's not what I want. I want this is a little too esoteric.
A lot of questions.
Here we go.
A quart of questions.
Terms of venery are words of groups for animal. A quart of questions?
That's
like
what
Chicken
Hand
wood.
Says. A quart. A quart.
A quart of questions.
Quart, like the, you know, his alliteration. Mm. Call a cul-de-sac of questions.
cul-de-sac of questions? A query of questions? A quiver of questions.
A quiver of questions.
A quiver of questions. There we go.
Okay, let's move on to the rest of the quiver. John from Victoria, Australia asks, I have a question. When I'm home, I do my banking on my iMac, but when I travel, I'm using my iPad and iPhone. Yeah. Now, unless I'm missing something, how do I take a PDF, like a bill, from out of an email and save it in a file in iCloud?
Oh.
It appears that the option is not available in iOS, and strangely, I can save one to OneDrive or Google Drive, but not iCloud.
Okay, and you asked me about this. Let me see if I can find a PDF somewhere. Yeah, here is a document from my Kaiser Permanente. This is a PDF file. And this is a little weird. If you view the PDF, you can send it to iBooks, all right? Now, I don't think you can do it. No, see, this is where it always throws me. What you need to do is send it to Safari first.
Wait, there was an iBooks.
Was there an iBooks? Did you see it? Oh, there it is.
Copy to iBooks.
Copy to iBooks. Okay. In Safari, it's kind of weird because you have to pull it down and tap it, and then it will appear. It's very confusing. But if you can, but you can always get it into iBooks. And when you get it into iBooks, of course, that should sync right to everything else. So I store my PDFs in iBooks, and you can actually say, instead of all books, you can say, just show me PDFs, and then I'll have PDFs stored in iBooks. You know, one of the things I have here is camera manuals. The question is, do they sync or not? Maybe they don't.
Check your phone, Anthony says.
Maybe they don't. Or maybe we have to set up iBooks to do that. How could you get them into iCloud? What would iCloud back up? Let's look in settings, and we can see here. This is a challenge.
It is a challenge, but I mean, I am under the, you know, I use iCloud, but I also use Dropbox, and I also use Google Drive.
Notes, Apple's Notes will synchronize. I don't see iBook on here, so these are the things: photos, mail, contacts, calendars, reminders, Safari, Notes. You could maybe put it in the Safari Reader, something like that. I don't know. Let's look at iCloud Drive. See, these are the things that support iCloud Drive. So you could open it up in one of these, like Pages would work. Paper works. So anything, Google Docs would work. So anything that you can save to one of these will be saved out to your, if you explicitly tell it to, saved out to your iCloud Drive. You know, it blows me away that does not work for iBooks. Maybe Apple doesn't want you to use iBooks for that. Because they do allow you to store PDFs in there. Boy, it'd sort of be nice if they'd synchronize as well.
I think that everyone should have more than one cloud backup service. In case.
I mean, if you have Dropbox or others, that's easy enough.
But that is weird. I find iCloud to be weird. It is my least favorite Apple or iOS thing. It's
not
confusing.
Super well implemented.
It must have a reason. I mean, I don't know.
I think they struggle.
They struggle with the cloud. The struggle is real for iCloud.
Yes.
I have one more question, and that is from Phyllis.
Well, this was a quiver.
Oh, yeah. One more question from our quiver. Phyllis from Howard Beach says she has organized all her photos in Picasa. What do I do now? Picasa was Google's photo app that they bought, and now they have Google Photos, of course. Can I transfer to Google Photos in the same headings I have? Also, Windows 10 is telling me that something is not compatible, so I think it's Picasa and cannot upgrade from. So it sounds like she uses Windows 10 and an iPhone or an iPad and wants to use Google Photos. I think if you sync with a Mac, when I synced my Picasa, it did bring up the folders automatically if you do it that way. But I wasn't using Windows 10, so I don't know. But I do. I was a big fan of Picasa. I used it.
And Google Photos was intended to replace Picasa Web, which is the online capability of Picasa. So if you've been sharing to Picasa Web, I would think that it would then continue to. So maybe look in your Picasa settings and see for a way to upload it to the web and then have it be Picasa Photos.
But
that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I highly recommend Google Photos, though, too. So I'm sorry that Picasa left, but
I think while not all the features of Picasa are there, and in particular, she's spent a lot of time organizing her photos in Picasa, you will find that a lot of what Google Photos does obviates that. For instance, you made a big folder containing all your pictures from your trip to Paris. Well, now you can literally go into search on Google Photos, type Paris, and all the photos that were taken in Paris will appear. So there's kind of some organizational stuff that happens automatically with Google Photos that doesn't require your effort. But I understand you put a lot of effort into those folders.
Yeah.
A shame to lose them.
I mean, it's same with dates, like all the pictures from 2005. You can find all those.
You know what I've been using a lot? They just introduced photo sharing in Google.
Yes.
Folder sharing in Google
Photos.
You can... So I took all the photos I took of Lisa, and I shared them with Lisa.
Mm.
All the photos we took on a trip, our last trip, I shared them with Lisa. So that's really nice. And what's nice is you can share it in such a way that people can add their own photos. So we can now make a mutual photo folder that has her pics and my pics from our trip. That's something really great. I love that. That's another reason to use Google Photos. It's really very focused on cloud.
So I wonder if I need to update to do that. So here's my this screenshot that I took because I needed to bring my Princess Leia wig to you. And Siri on the Apple Watch thought I meant Kristen Wiig.
That's weird that they would prefer a proper name to a noun, a common noun.
Right, but also spelled Leia wig. Princess Leia, spelled that.
Got Princess Leia, right?
Yeah, so is that where I share, right here? Add to an album, or do I need to update?
No, see down here?
That's, so a group. Oh, shared album, is that where?
You'd have to do it in Google Photos. I wasn't talking about Apple.
This is Google Photos.
Oh, you're in Google Photos right now. Okay. Press the plus button up in the upper right-hand corner, and you're going to see a choice of album, shared album, movie story. So create a new shared album.
Okay.
And if you've selected photos already, it'll take the existing photos, but now you can share those photos.
I'm covering a picture that Greg drew that isn't appropriate or family-friendly, but, you know.
It's not unfriendly. Is that you?
No, it's not me. It was just someone giving
a little hand gesture.
It's nothing that bad.
Man, if you want family friendly, look at my pictures.
No, thank you.
Actually, that is friendly.
Yeah.
That's how you make families.
Oh, Leo, this has been wonderful.
Time for a break.
It is. Lynda.com. Let's talk about that.
Our show today brought to you by The Way. To expand your mind with the great courses in many areas of technology, business. The nice thing about Lynda is it's a natural fit for you because you watch our shows because you are a curious person. You want to learn. You want to expand what you know. Maybe you want to get better for something at work. Maybe you want to get better at your hobby. Lynda.com is about all of that. These are not your grandfather's YouTube videos, if grandpa didn't have YouTube videos. But they're not these are not amateur hour. This is beautifully produced videos with teachers who work in the field, so they're really experts and are great teachers. This is a great place to find those courses, and a lot of them, more than 3,000 on-demand video courses. Maybe you want to take better photos. That's my hobby, right? Love to do it. Lynda's latest courses include... wait a minute. This is Apple stuff. Look at this. Up and running with Apple TV.
Oh.
They're putting us out of business. I love that one. That's Joseph Lanashke, the DIY photographer. But look at this. Up and running with Apple TV. Up and running with the iPad Pro. What the what? Well, you know, we can take the competition. They do such a good job. And, you know, these... You're seeing on the right the English language transcripts, which make it very easy to not only follow along, but search into the videos and find the solution or the tip that you're looking for. They also have up and running with Office for iPads and iPhones. What's nice about Lynda is they work with the companies, so they get these videos out fast. When the new Microsoft Office came out, they already had videos to train you. One of the other hobbies I have is writing software. I love coding, not for professional reasons. I just love learning a language. And if you want to learn how to code or maybe develop an iOS app, there are great courses, web design courses like Node.js Essential Training and my favorite new language, Up and Running with Clojure. That's new. I've got to get that. Programming iOS 9 and the Gameplay Kit. Oh, there's even a course called Programming for Non-Programmers using iOS 9 and Swift. I love Linda. Here's the best part. One low monthly fee gives you access to everything. You don't have to pick a major. You don't have to say it's for work or for fun. It can be all of the above. All of the above. And with your monthly subscription, you also can download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on there, your iOS device or your Android device. I want you to try it. We've got 10 days free for you. Lynda.com/iOS today. 10 days free. I didn't know they had that Clojure course. I'm going to go there and do that tonight. LYNDA.com/iOS today. We thank them so much for their support. 10 days of premium access. That's the best you can get, you know. The best.
The best.
Time for hats because it's App Cap time. And, of course, it's the holiday season, so I'm wearing my Pope Santa hat. Actually, this is not a Pope hat. People think it is. A mitre, a bishop's mitre, something like that. This is a folk hat from Ukraine, I believe.
Oh.
Isn't it? You don't know?
Sure. I don't know. Yes, it is.
Yours is a folk hat from the streets of the city.
Oh, dear.
From the urban city.
Or Mrs. Claus.
Or Mrs. Claus.
Or,
yeah, that's what Mrs. Claus would wear. It's nice. It's fur trimmed. It's great.
So
we wear these why?
This is so you can, you know, semi-insult me and I can laugh.
I didn't insult you.
You didn't.
I insulted the hat.
The hat, right.
Not the wearer.
The hat, yes.
No, this was brought to us by, remember that nice lady who brought us some ethnic hats, I think from Ukraine? I'm not sure. Somewhere Slavic.
Well, we wear hats so that we can show you our favorite app, and we call it App Cap.
Oh, it's like it's an award for being a good app.
Right, exactly. A good app, in our opinion.
The best of the week.
And I said I used your word infantilize for coloring, because I like to color.
It's the big thing now.
No,
coloring books are
coloring
back.
Books.
Adult coloring right. books.
Not adult pictures, just adults liking
but
to
no,
color.
But they are pictures that are hard. I mean,
yeah.
They're much harder than the kind of coloring books your kids have.
Mm-hmm.
What is
so
this?
So this is called Pigment, and it's free, but then there are in-app purchases for the library.
It's like a mandala.
So
that's
it is.
Beautiful.
These are mandalas, which are very...
Oh, that's so beautiful.
My hat is getting
here,
in the way.
Just fold up the edge.
Okay. How's that?
And it's jaunty and out of the way.
Yeah. So when
boots.
I color, I usually take it out of the keyboard. So I have the option of all of these different colors.
Do you like
here.
Do this like while you're watching TV? Or
yeah.
Listening to an audiobook
or just
or
yeah. If yeah. I'm so I could just color.
It's kind of like needlework.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Is there a mode that it doesn't cross the line?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
You can. Yeah.
Because I'm terrible.
Yeah, like there. See. Yeah. I can also.
Oh, and you can zoom. Oh, well, that makes it easier.
So yeah.
Oh, that's
I just tap
good.
It and then. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
There are different gradients of brushes also, so
you know
I
what?
Can...
This looks like fun because I have
is.
No artistic ability, but you feel like you're kind of making art.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, I have this pencil now that you gave to me instead of giving to your mom, which I will be eternally grateful for. And now I feel like I can really use it because I can't really draw if you've seen. So, so let's... There are... Butterflies.
Ooh.
There's two volumes of mandalas. This is mandala.
Ooh. Mandalas are hard. Those are
winter. So you know, I started.
Ooh, snowflakes.
Yeah, and
this is nice.
It is
oh,
really
look
nice.
Look at that. And there's absolutely no purpose or use, right?
No, just yeah. And
just
so you can
fun.
Yeah, you can zoom,
make it
or
a little
rotate.
Harder, draw it upside down.
You can actually, share them.
You could
I mean,
share them.
You can
oh,
share
nice.
Them. Yeah. So, I mean, sure, there's no use per se unless
no,
you want
to
see what a green reindeer looks like.
So soothing.
It is so
soothing. Does that look green
soothing.
To you?
I think this is...
I must be blue-green color blanks.
But you could just practice your drawing. So,
it's
yeah.
Kind of it's kind bluish to me.
It does?
Yeah.
It's green and pink. And I always...
Oh. Reindeer do have pink bellies. That's really one of the things that's so appealing.
So, yeah, and then when you're done, you can share it on Instagram.
Is this what is this called?
It's called Pigment.
And it's free?
Free, but then in-app purchases for the coloring
now,
books.
Now, do they? Well, let me see what the in-apps are, because I'd love to kind of see.
Well, this coloring book was...
That was an in-app purchase?
Yes.
Okay, because it's for the holidays.
I think maybe one comes with it. And then everything
the rest
else you have to buy.
Oh, look, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Let me be
you
more
must have
specific.
Bought a pack.
I bought a subscription. It's a subscription.
Yeah, because you'd run out after you color
it
thousands
of things. It's a subscription, and so I think it's $9 a month.
I'd love the Dover. You know the Dover books? Do you know what those
are? Yes.
I would love to be able to color those. Oh, look, she's a...
Yeah, so...
You know, monks make these mandalas out of sand. It's very meditative.
Right. It is meditative.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten a gift for someone, this is something you could get, and, you know, it would be shipping on time because it's just a subscription, so you wouldn't have to go to a store or anything. Yeah. I really like it. It's by Pixite.
Love it.
Pigment.
A couple of responses from the chat room. First, graphite was purchased by Autodeck.
Purchased by
Autodeck.
It
was the originally iDraw, and then when Autodesk purchased it, mm-hmm. they renamed it and added quite a bit. And then another person in our chat room is telling me that this hat is the official kind of ceremonial hat of Udorkistan. So I think that's correct.
Yeah.
That sounds correct to me.
Yes.
So I don't know why we've not mentioned this before. Somebody was saying that, well, I wish we had a better podcast app. We've talked about Overcast. I think that was one of your picks. Marco Arment mm-hmm. makes a great podcast app for iOS. But the problem is it's only audio. This show, and in fact, all the shows we do are video. And there's some great video out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to have a podcast app that did both. And let's add some more things to it. It'd be nice to have a podcast app that syncs your subscriptions, so keep track of them, so you could have it on multiple devices that would be totally cross-platform. This is the one. It's called Pocket Casts. I actually, to be fair, oh, look, that really gets in the shot, doesn't it? To be fair, I found this on Android, and I was thrilled to find it on iOS because it made it possible for me to share my existing podcast subscriptions. You just log into your account, which is free, by the way. They also, of course, as do most, have suggestions. They have top charts. That's always an important part about podcasts, is how to find the next podcast. And I'm happy to say they have networks, including the Twit Network. So that makes it very easy, for instance, to find all of our shows. And as I mentioned, all of our shows are available both in audio and in video, and this app supports it. So if you have a nice high-res iPad and you have enough storage space, pick the Video HD. I'm already subscribed to that, and let's go back because we can actually watch it. This is one of the apps I subscribe to. So if you listen to a show, you can just play it just like this, and it has a lot of the features that people love about Overcast, including the ability to skip over intros. That's funny. That must be a real problem. Auto download is nice, notifications. Auto cleanup is handy because you can say, you know, get rid of episodes after I've listened to them, or only keep the most recent five. I like to do that because I don't want to listen to old episodes, but you may not want to do that. I guess I didn't plug in my audio, Jack, and so you probably, you don't need to hear the podcast because that's not important. What you wanted to know, what somebody wanted to know, is can I watch them? And you bet you can. Even better, you can AirPlay it. So we were talking, remember, about AirPlaying to the Apple TV.
Right.
This will do that. And it will also, it supports Chromecast. So you can also Chromecast to it. But AirPlaying is very simple. You just select AirPlay down here from your control center. I don't see where the Chromecast is. Share link to episode, current position, open file in. You can open it once you've downloaded it in other apps as well. I have to figure out where the Chromecast button is. I'm sure there is one somewhere because they do say this supports Chromecast. And like Overcast, as we mentioned, and I know a lot of you like to do this, you can pick a playback speed, even for video. So if you want the show to go fast, you can choose 3X and it'll play back really, really fast. Boom, 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 boom. So that is really a great app. Pocket Casts. I actually think it's one of the best podcast apps on any platform. And it does do video, and it has a lot of the features that you would like, including skips. You can turn off the artwork. You can have notifications when there's new stuff. You can have save on storage. A lot of good features to this, including fast playback. Although, unlike Marco's app, the fast playback only happens when you're actually listening, and then you can choose the speed as you are listening to it, I think, somewhere. Pretty sure you could do that, but I don't see it. It's funny that it did on video, but I don't see it here. Pocket Casts. I listen at the real speed. It makes me nervous when it goes
fast. Yeah, I think I personally talk fast enough. Don't speed me up any more than.
And syncing with your free account, which is really handy. So there's our app caps. There's our show.
There's our show. There's our year.
Our last show of the year. Next week, we're going to not do a best of. I mean, there were many moments, mm-hmm. but you can go back and watch every single show and you won't have to worry about it.
Right.
But we do have a special show for you. We're going to unwrap our presents and show mm-hmm. you how to set them up.
Mm-hmm.
Including the Apple TV, the iPhone, and the Apple Watch.
Yeah. So call us over break, 757-504-iPad.
We won't be here.
We'll leave a message and then we will play it on the show. Send us videos. Email us. Find us on Twitter. We love your feedback. We love your questions.
What is our Twitter handle? iOS Today?
I was just going to say Megan Maroney on Twitter or Leo Laporte on Twitter.
Okay. We don't have a Twitter.
I don't think we have. I think we came late to the iOS since it's a new. I think somebody already owned
that one.
iOS Today.
Man,
so,
I hate when that happens.
But, you know, why do we need that? We've got us.
We don't
us.
Need that.
Yeah.
You got us.
Yeah.
Leo Laporte, Megan Maroney. Easy.
Yep. And thanks for watching.
Happy Christmas if you celebrate. Happy New Year if you celebrate that. We will be back January 4th with a brand new live episode. I'll be tanned, rested, and ready to harass Megan. See ya.